A very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is Thursday, 11th of June, 2020. So we are having our Thursday class, which is the continuation of our Heart Sutta, second edition. We are at page 102, lesson 19 of the Heart Sutta class. And we shall start the meditation class. We will have half an hour of awareness-based meditation, as usual. Then after that, we will continue with our Dhamma sharing. So you can get ready for whatever meditation that you are familiar with. Initially, the most important thing to do is to remember the four support for awareness-based meditation. Relax body and mind, then maintain awareness and silence everything. Don't try to know. Just maintain awareness. That silent inner awareness is your meditative mind, and that is the one that can meditate. So you really can develop the understanding, just relax, maintain awareness, then let that silent mind stabilize. Then attentively maintain awareness so that you understand clearly what is going on within your own form of mind, within the environment. Because as a human being, we have our physical senses, the five main physical senses plus the brain. So these six senses can give rise to the respective six types of thought consciousness or mental consciousness. And this is how we actually know the world and interact with the world. So to meditate, we have to make use of these senses. So the only entity that can be aware of all this movement is our meditative mind, the silent mind, the inner awareness nature. So all meditation, for those who understand, will lead us to this silent mind. We have to begin with this silent mind. Huineng call it no thought. The characteristics of no thought, that is the first hallmark to develop meditation. So when you are without thought, the awareness nature surface, you can only realize the true mind, the silent mind, when thought ceases. That's why to meditate, you must just let things be, allow the thought to be, and let it slow down until it finally subsides and ceases. Then you will realize your true mind. From there, you can meditate. Okay? We are off the line. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness or mindfulness that you have developed for as long as you can. You have to stabilize all this trained mind state so that you can make use of it to live life. And finally, the real meditation is to stabilize your sati. All of formal meditation is to locate your silent mind and stabilize it. Relax, maintain awareness until the mind enters sati, until you experience sparsity very clearly. Then when your mind enters sati, you become different. Your mindfulness is like automatic. Everything you do when you come out of the meditation, the sati is there. All of your movement, action in the present moment. Then you can anchor your sati to any of the phenomenal activity within life itself. You can also anchor it to all the feelings that arise. Then you can be aware of all the mental states that arise, sankhara activity. Sankhara has deep meaning. Everything that your mind can do is sankhara. It includes feeling and perception. that apart from feeling and perception, your mind can create thought process. That is also sankhara, mental activity. And it can also arise mental states. You can experience various types of mental state, whether your mind states are peaceful, calm, agitated, or restless. These are all the various type of mind state or mental states. So as a cultivator, we will experience them. And when you develop the understanding of meditation, all of the wholesome mental state will arise. The unwholesome one will cease. The mental hindrance all will cease. Fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, they will all cease. It's like they have no place in your mind, because once you develop the understanding, you will not be deceived by it. So all this understanding will surface as you develop the meditation. Awareness is very important, sati, mindfulness. When you are aware and mindful, you are sensitive. You can see many things that normal people don't see, because you are quiet, still. The awareness nature can see. But when you are not mindful or aware, you are lost in thought. When you are lost in thought, you are preoccupied with what you think. So when that happens, you are no longer aware, no longer in the meditative state. That's why you are not sensitive. You cannot experience or see things that are very subtle and fine. So the purpose of meditation is to train our mind so that it has this quality of sati or mindfulness, then stabilize it until your mind enters sati. Turn to page 102. Lesson 19, Sutta 1.1. Wisdom and life situation. With wisdom, one is always at ease. Always remember, when you have wisdom, you will never panic. You are always at ease. No matter what happens, the awareness is there. The understanding is there. That's why with wisdom, once you have awakened, you have developed the wisdom, you are always at ease. And the other characteristic is, not only you are at ease, but you are also with a lot of harmony in whatever one does in life. One will always be able to accord and flow with conditions during their waking moments, as in working career environment, or as a household, the or housewife doing her daily chores, or as a human being going through life, etc. One will have the wisdom and ability to resolve all of life's issue or situation amicably, without causing any suffering or karmic negativity to anyone. That is, with no mental negativity to deceive, cheat, lie, or take advantage of others. So when you can experience that type of life, then you know you are on the right path, you are on the right track. You have done well in your meditation. These are the signs of a refined cultivator or living being. Living being who has the wisdom and the understanding and the mindfulness and the sensitivity, they will have this quality. They are always at ease, no matter what happens. And there is a lot of harmony within themselves and the environment. And because of their understanding, their mind states are very beautiful. Then they know how to attend to life situation or life issue that arise. They will know how to resolve things amicably so that nobody gets hurt. So that they call it they can give rise to win-win situation. There is no need to like take advantage of situation, dominate anybody. Then you realize that evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, even the subtle one, they are no longer there. That's why you are always at ease, at peace, in harmony. Then there is a lot of joy, inner peace, inner calmness, inner mindfulness, awareness. Your mind is always tranquil, peaceful, still. And you are always heedful, ever mindful, constantly meditative. Then I will read on so that you can understand better. In life, the way one perceives a life situation is very important. So this one is to teach you wisdom, teach you how to attend to life. Like I always say, there is no such thing as a problem, you understand, in the true sense of that word. Why do we call it a problem? We call it a problem is because we project our thought and perceive a life situation with negativity. Then there is this fear, worry, anxiety. You are not at peace. You think you have a problem. I read on, you understand. If one can perceive a life situation without any negativity, then one will always be happy and at peace with all life situations. If one does not react or stir one's mind, then one will not suffer. Try it. Find out. See whether what I said and share with you is the truth or not. Yeah, the word be is extra. We'll always be happy and peaceful. Okay. So, always remember, when you are able to be at peace, means you does not stir your mind, you does not react to whatever that happened or arise. That's how you can maintain your composure, you can maintain your peace, your calmness, you can be at peace with all things. In life, the way one perceives a life situation is very important. Oh, I've gone through this. Okay. To have the ability to prevent the unwholesome speech, action, and thought from arising, one need to develop sati, mindfulness, leading to heedfulness, apamata, and wisdom, to prevent the arising of the unwholesome mental intention that will condition one's unwholesome speech and action. Right thought, right speech, and right action are conducive for the holy life. So this will be understood when you are able to cultivate that mindfulness, sensitivity of mind, to develop the ability to be aware of all defilements. Then your mind can arise the appropriate right effort to cultivate and purify the thought process. The first two right effort is very important initially. To abandon the first right effort, the wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action that has arisen. Then you have to cultivate the initial wisdom, the understanding to straighten your view. Then when you have the ability to do that, and when you understand what constitutes evil, you will be able to arise a second right effort to prevent the arising of the unwholesome thought, action, and speech. This second right effort you can never do if there is no initial wisdom. You must develop the initial wisdom. Then after that, the third right effort is simple. It's the process of cultivating the wholesome aspect of Noble Eightfold Path. So right effort to cultivate the right thought, right speech, and right action that are still not in you. You have to develop them. Then the final right effort is to refine upon all this right thought, right speech, right action, and perfect them so that they become your virtue, your parami, your perfection. So all this fora effort is very useful, very conducive for the cultivation of Noble Eightfold Path. When you are able to do that, then you can have the sense restraint. Otherwise, not easy to have sense restraint. Without the initial wisdom, without the stability of daily mindfulness, sense restraint is impossible. So sense restraint need initial wisdom, need the stability of mindfulness to be sensitive, to be aware, need the initial understanding of the essential Dhamma of what constitutes evil and what are the wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action. So not until you understand all this, you cannot cultivate them. Because if you don't understand, you cannot be mindful of them, you cannot see them. Even when you have the understanding, but you are not mindful enough, your stability of mindfulness is not strong, not stable, you still can't see. They arise very fast, sometimes without you knowing. Then you are already conditioned into negativity of mind state. The mental hindrance already arisen. The evil roots that condition your negativity of mind state already arisen. That's why you don't stand a chance. You can never cope with what happened in life. At the moment of sense experience, the mental sankhara, mental thinking, mental reaction, born of your wrong view, conditioning, they move so fast. That's the reason why to cope with life, you have to be ever mindful. Your mind has to be very sensitive. Because when we go through life, when we start to live life, our senses are fully engaged. We have to use most of them. And this sense experience, they arise and pass away so fast. Every moment of sense experience, a lot of things happen. The mundane mind just move along. And without wisdom, without mindfulness, without sati, without awareness, you can't see, you are like blind. That's the reason why most people become heedless. When they are heedless, they cannot do anything. They cannot live life, they cannot cope with life, because the heedless are as if dead. Like the Buddha's Dhammapada verse 21 is clearly explained by the Buddha. So in order to develop the ability to be mindful, to be aware, to meditate, you need to train your mind to develop this heedfulness. Only heedfulness can bring about the enlightenment, the wisdom, the way. That's the reason why the Buddha said, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. So this understanding is very important. You must commit them to memory, then determine to be heedful, to be aware. Otherwise, it's not easy. Yeah? Okay, we read on. Huh? Okay. The three doors that commit karma or chetena. The three doors that commit karma are chetena or mental intention, committed via speech, action, and thought process. To take care of karma, one needs to be ever mindful of one's mental intention and apply the appropriate right effort and right understanding to avoid all evil, do good, and purify one's mind. Contemplating to develop the skillful means of communication and action, we are arising only the right or appropriate speech and action that will not cause any suffering or misery to fellow living beings is very important. For example, we are having love and compassion, kindness, pleasantness and gentleness of speech, gratitude, sincerity, etc. In everything, we can go a long way. Huh? You can do all those things. Sometimes by being sensitive to say, I'm really sorry, and please do forgive me if I have unknowingly caused you any misunderstanding, can go a long way to make people feel good and happy, as opposed to engaging in unfruitful arguments that can lead to further misunderstanding and enmity later on. Use only pleasant, gentle, and appropriate speeches, and speak tactfully with wisdom, kindness, love, and compassion to help others and to bring about more harmony and happiness. Those who are in the service industry should learn to speak well on the phone and when receiving guests or people. Those who are attending to emergency phone call must also have the ability to use gentle, pleasant, and good speeches to calm people down and assist them to handle the situation calmly and appropriately. Words like, may I help you, and how can I be of assistance, are very useful and appropriate. Understanding the importance of applying the foreign effort to purify our action, speech, and thought process is very important. It's a very important aspect of the whole cultivation. There are three very important purification needed for cultivation, and they are purification of morality, sila visuddhi, purification of mind, citta visuddhi, and purification of view, ditti visuddhi. So these are the first three of the seven stages of purification. They call it satta visuddhi. These three purifications are part of the seven stages of purification as taught by the Buddha. So I will go through with you the seven stages of purification or satta visuddhi. The seven stages of purification or satta visuddhi as taught by the Buddha are as follows. The first one is sila visuddhi. Purification of sila or morality or virtue. We are keeping one's precept. Like what I have gone through with you all, to keep the precept is not just like parroting the precept. Parroting the precept is not keeping the precept. You may call it renewal of precept. But in order to really keep the precept, you must understand the deep meaning of the precept, why the Buddha asked you to keep the precepts. And you have to put to test all these five precepts. When you put to test, then you will understand. Just like how I have shared with you early on, you have to inquire, why did the Buddha advise all living beings to keep the precepts? That is based on right view in regards to law of karma. So the Buddha knew, if you want to avoid negativity of karma, you have to take care of karma. To take care of karma, you have to train your mind to be mindful, to be heedful, and you have to understand the meaning of precepts, the purpose of precepts, very deeply. So this very first understanding is very useful. It comes from right view with regards to the law of karma. So because of that, the Buddha's advice, Dhammapada verse 183, follow. In order to take care of karma, the Buddha said, you have to avoid all evil. Then in order to develop the wholesomeness of karma, you have to cultivate wholesomeness. Then in order to develop wisdom, to free your mind, to liberate, to become enlightened, you have to purify your mind and awaken. So these three are the famous advice of all Samasa Buddha whenever they arise. And we have to ask ourselves, when he say, avoid all evil, what does he mean? What constitutes evil? We check. In the teaching is mentioned the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion constitute major evil. When you have them, you become evil. And from there, we can start. Then we check. The Buddha advises us to keep our precept. Otherwise, according to the Buddha, if you violate them, it constitutes committing major evil. That's how your karmic nature falls. That's how you get into trouble. Because our life, we are born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of karma. So we have to take care of karma. Because our entire life, 100% depend on karma. So if this been the case, then we need to avoid all evil. Whatever thing we do that has these evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, we have to avoid them. That's why all evil has to be avoided. So let's take, for example, the first precept. Panatipata veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. What is the meaning? The Buddha says, we undertake the training rule to abstain from killing and causing harm to fellow living beings. So, who are the people who kill and harm fellow living beings? That is our inquiry. Then you will come to realize people who are selfish, people who are violent, full of anger, hatred, envy, and jealousy, and people who are deluded, they can kill and harm. That's why the first precept, if you don't keep, you will have karmic negativity. The evil roots are there. So, not able to abstain from killing fellow living being or harming fellow living being constitute negativity of mind state, negativity of karmic action, speech, and thought process. That's why keeping the first precept is very vital. There are people who violate and break this precept has the evil roots of greed or selfishness, anger, emotion, and delusion. So if you check the other precept, it's the same. The second precept, the third precept, the fourth precept, the fifth precept. You go through them, like how I have gone through them with you at the retreat. Then you will develop the deep understanding. Then you will understand why I have to keep this precept. This precept is to assist you, to protect you from committing negativity of karma, to protect your good life, so that you will not fall. So when you understand taking a precept, keeping a precept become your duty, become something you must do based on your understanding. A lot of people who don't have the understanding, they always complain, why make life so difficult? Certain precepts are not easy to keep. So they thought it's a burden. Actually, it's the opposite. The Buddha, out of love and compassion for you, advised you to keep. He is not there to make life difficult for you. A lot of people complain, no, why must keep so many precepts? Especially lie. A lot of people find it very difficult to keep the precept. Then stealing also same. Cheating, deceiving. Then the third precept also. Then sometimes a lot of people find the fifth precept very difficult. Then some cannot restrain from the first precept. They kill mosquito, they kill all the minor insects. Then they get agitated, angry, and violent easily. So a person who don't have the understanding and the mindfulness cannot keep precept. they become heedless. They commit a lot of negativity of karma. That's the reason why their life become miserable. They are afflicted. So sometimes they blame God. They say, why is God so unfair? Why me? But then you look at those who have the Dhamma, the Parami, who keep the precept, who don't commit all these things. How come their lives are so different? They are so happy, so peaceful, like as if they are very lucky. If you have the understanding, there is nothing to do with luck. Don't depend on luck, my advice is. There is no such thing as luck. If you don't take care of your life, you don't have the Dhamma, no luck will come to you. You will encounter a lot of misery, a lot of suffering, a lot of problems in life. If you want to have the good life, the good luck, cultivate the Dhamma. Keep your precept. Then after that, cultivate wholesomeness. Then silence your mind, train your mind, meditate to develop the wisdom so that you are not afflicted. You are not affected by whatever that arises in life. So this is the beauty of the teaching. When you understand the teaching, it can really turn your life around, make you different, transform you into a very, very wise and beautiful living being. You will be very virtuous, full of understanding, and you will be very kind, very loving, very compassionate and peaceful. You will have a lot of good virtue. And your mind states are always beautiful. People love you. People can sense you. People will have faith in you. They feel confident when they are near you. They feel safe. And they like to be your friend. They like to come and get to know you too. So these are the beauty of having the Dhamma, cultivating the Dhamma. So all this understanding, as you progress along the path of Dhamma, you will start to see them. You will start to develop the understanding of them. Then you will have joy. You will have this happiness in you. And you feel very joyful with a lot of gratitude and respect for the Buddha for giving you such great teaching. We call it the real gem. That's the reason why it's called the triple gem. These are real gemstones, the real gems. Okay, we will read on. Citta Visuddhi, the second purification. Citta is mind, or content of consciousness, especially the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. So when you are mindful, aware, and sensitive, when the evil roots are there, you can sense them, you can feel them. The slightest irritation or the slightest reaction of mind, you can sense them because you are mindful and you are sensitive. That's the reason why those who have the mindfulness and the understanding, they cannot break their precept anymore. They cannot become angry or miserable or unhappy. Their mind is so sensitive. The slightest like sensation towards that tendency, they already aware, mindful. That's why it cannot. The mind cannot do all those things anymore. It cannot stir, it cannot react like before. Because they feel the stress, the very fine suffering within, and they become so sensitive. That's how cultivation of daily mindfulness and the initial wisdom can transform you, make you sensitive, and enable you to keep your precept, enable you to transform for the better, character-wise. Personality-wise, you become different. You become virtuous. You become kind. compassionate. You have very gentle and pleasant personality. You are very beautiful. Your mind state is always wholesome, without the evil roots, free of negativity. And you have a lot of understanding. That's why purification of mind state, you need mindfulness, stability of mindfulness. When you are very mindful, aware, you see a lot of things, you understand a lot of things, then you straighten your view, then you contemplate, you reflect, the initial wisdom will arise. So without the stability of mindfulness and initial wisdom, you cannot keep precept. You cannot purify your morality. You cannot purify your mind state, your citta. Citta visuddhi. So purification of mind or content of consciousness cannot be done. So this shows to us the importance of daily mindfulness. You must stabilize it, develop it, until it becomes a part of you. Then after you are able to do it, you should use it to cultivate the initial wisdom, or the turning insight into phenomena, to awaken to the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta. Then constantly reflect and contemplate deep into the essential Dhamma that the Buddha has taught us, especially the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths, to develop the three types of corresponding wisdom. So when you are able to purify your morality, then you can move on to purify your mind states. Not until you can purify your mind state, you cannot really transform. Then as you purify your morality and mind state, you need to actually also develop the ability to purify your views. The straightening of view is actually a process that has been done together with sila visuddhi and citta visuddhi. As you purify your view, ditti visuddhi, you straighten your view, you develop the initial wisdom. That's why the third purification is done together with the second, first and second. So as you cultivate first and second, sila visuddhi and citta visuddhi, you need to develop the straightening of view, ditti visuddhi. Purification of view, so as to arise the right view in regards to the law of karma, Four Noble Truths and its three turning, and the law of dependent origination, and to cultivate the rest of the Noble Eightfold Path Factor. So this is how you purify your view. The first path factor, the three type of right view, you have to do them. Know the difference between right and wrong view to develop the understanding, the true understanding according to reality, and to see things as they are. So these are very important cultivation. The Noble Eightfold Path Factor start with right view. The reason being, I always explain, if your view is wrong, all the other path factor will collapse. So wrong view will condition wrong thought. Wrong thought will condition wrong speech, wrong action, wrong livelihood. Then your sati and samadhi will also go wrong. Then the four right effort you put in is also wrong type of effort. So all this points towards the importance of purification of views. And these three right views that the Buddha has taught us is very powerful. They are nature's law, spiritual law. The first one is law of karma, karma niyama. We have dealt into it. And that one we have already investigated, proven all the Dhammapada verses. When we are mindful and aware, all the essential Dhamma, the teaching, we can put to test. When they stand up to investigation, we have faith. That's why the law of karma, we will hold on to it. We will use that as a guiding principle for us to start our cultivation. All cultivation start from right view. The Buddha also used the same. His advice comes from the first right view. Right view in regards to this law of karma. That's the reason why in his teaching, he explained many aspects of karma. The five daily contemplation, the fifth contemplation. You must reflect and contemplate every day. That shows the importance of it. So, karma is very important. And he always stressed, it is cetana that I call karma, means mental intention. That's why you must be mindful, sensitive, aware to see your mental intention. Then you must understand the essential Dhamma, what constitutes evil. The three evil roots are the root of all evil. Then expand on it. What is greed? The Pali word lobha is a very wide scope type of greed. All aspects of greed, selfishness, possessiveness, craving, clinging, grasping, lust, desire, they are all part of this evil roots of greed. Then when it comes to hatred, expand on it. The Pali word is dosa. Lobha, dosa, moha. So dosa not only covers anger or hatred, all your envy, jealousy, negativity of mind state, negative emotion, they are part of this evil roots of hatred. Then when it comes to moha, delusion, this one is not so easy to understand. But for those who understand, they will know. Moha means delusion. And the main one is self-delusion. When there is self-delusion, the personality arises. The egoic mind arises. So when the egoic mind arises, it will project. And when it projects, it will arise fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. That's how living beings get entangled. Even your insecurity, your scars of memory, all of your phobia, everything, they are part of this evil roots of moha. So when you understand them so completely, then when you see them manifesting, you will understand. That's how it helps you in your cultivation. So the three evil roots, then you understand, it becomes very different. Then from there, you will understand what constitutes wrong thought, wrong action, wrong speech. Whatever action, speech, and thought that has the evil roots are wrong thought, wrong speech, and wrong action. Take for example, wrong thought. The text or the scripture or the commentaries, they always teach you very limited understanding of right thought. They never explain what is wrong thought. They always say right thought means the four Brahma Vihara. Actually, that is very limited. The four Brahma Vihara, loving kindness, which is metta, then karuna, which is compassion. Then you have mudita, sympathetic joy. Then you have equanimity, which is upekkha. These are the four mind states of the Brahma. Yeah, they are right thought. But right thought is not limited to these four. Many of the thoughts that are free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion are right thought. Like gratitude, sincerity, kindness, then contentment. They are all right thought without the evil root. Sincerity, respect, all these are right thought. The thought that has virtue constitutes right thought. Even your generosity, the thought of being generous, being kind, being caring, loving, they are all right thought. Then even that sincere thought is a right thought. You are free of the evil roots. But to me, this way of teaching is not sufficient, not enough, because it doesn't allow you to understand what constitutes wrong thought. To me, it's more important to understand what is wrong thought so that I can take action. So I came out with my own understanding after I understand all these evil roots, after I expanded on it. Then I realized, whenever you are not peaceful, not happy, the wrong thoughts are there, the evil roots are there. Otherwise, you will not be in that state of mind. Why are you not happy, not peaceful? Because there is the evil roots. Then what constitutes wrong thought? So that you can recognize them. Thoughts that condition your negativity of mind state, like your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, your unhappiness, your deep resentment, your phobia, your selfishness, your insecurity. All this constitute wrong thought. So very easy, isn't it? Whenever you are not happy, not peaceful, when all these mind states are there, you are being engulfed. So when I define it this way, a lot of people who have depression, straight away they wake up. They realize all the thought that they have been carrying, thinking, holding on to, are all this wrong thought. I call it the cocoon of thought, like a tape recorder, keep on replaying. That's how they become depressed. That's how they have mental sickness. So people have depression is because they attach and cling on to the wrong thought without knowing what is going on. In fact, wrong thoughts are thoughts that are very negative, that condition your mind state into evil mind state. So when you understand that, then you will determine through your right effort to abandon them. Because when you reflect on it, if you don't think of the opposite direct wholesome thought, the wrong thought will continue to be there. And it will make you evil. Then you will have karmic negativity, lead to downfall, it lead to suffering. If that is your life, do you want it to go that way? If not, you better change. You better determine to abandon it through the five ways that the Buddha has taught you. So the first two ways is still thought-based, but it's good for initial training. Think of the direct opposite wholesome thought means constantly contemplate and develop the understanding of what constitutes right thought, like what I have gone through earlier on with you. Then right effort to cultivate the right thought that are still not in you, so that you can reverse your conditioning, so that most of the time you dwell on right thought. That's how you cultivate. Then after that, the second way is to think of the consequence of holding on to this wrong thought. Because these are wrong thoughts that has the evil roots, like your anger, your hatred, your fear, your sorrow, your lamentation. If you continue to hold on to this wrong thought, what will happen to you? These are evil roots, roots of all evil, make you evil, cause your negativity or karma to arise, cause your karmic downfall, make you miserable, make you suffer. If that is what you want, then go ahead, be heedless. But if this is not what you want, then you better wake up, determined to abandon it. And the best way to abandon it is the third and the fourth way, the meditative way. The third way is just aware, silent, be with the anger, be with the fear, be with the selfishness, whatever negative emotions, stay there and see what happens. It will cease to be naturally on its own. Which means to meditate is not to think, not to create more thought, not to do things. That's why I say don't try to know, don't try to do anything. Just relax, maintain awareness. When you maintain awareness, you can find out what actually happened. When you maintain awareness, all this mind state, negativity of mind state, whether it's anger, hatred, or fear, or misery, or sorrow and lamentation. Find out what will happen to them. They will cease to be, because they are dependent originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena. They arise because of your self-delusion, your wrong view. When you don't have wrong view, means what? When you are just aware, you cannot think. And when you cannot think, there is no wrong thought, no wrong view. And then all this is. Then you realize, hey, anger is not me. Hatred is not me. All these mind state, they are not me. If they are not me, why do they arise in me? And who am I? What am I? All this inquiry will lead to wisdom, will free you. If they are not you, you have to trace the origination factor through the fourth way. Then retrospectively, through the understanding of wisdom, reverse it. So that the next time, when you see something, hear something, smell something, taste something, tactile feel or think of something, you will not stir your mind like before. You will not get agitated and unhappy, so that the emotion, the negativity of mind state will not arise. So these are very important understanding. So when you have this understanding, you transform, you wake up. Then you realize the teaching of the Buddha is so beautiful. That's why he says, Sankara anicchang, Sankara dukkang. When I cling, I grasp, I hold, I suffer. Then because it's anicchang, it is anatta, non-self, not a permanent unchanging entity. That's why it is empty. No more meaning. So all this understanding will surface through just being silent, aware, then witness or observe what happened. Observe how all this mind state, sankhara, this arise and this is. They are all dependent originating, condition arising. When condition cease to be, it cease to be. Then after that, when you have this wisdom developed, you will straighten your view. That's how the purification of view helps a lot. So these are the teaching that you have to develop the understanding. Then we go back to the notes. Okay, after we have finished the third one, the view. So this purification of view is very important. So just now I say, know the difference between right view and wrong view to develop the true understanding according to reality and to see things as they are. So I explained the first one is law of karma just now, which I went into very deep detail today. That cultivation part, you can listen to it again and develop them. Then the second right view is you need to be mindful, aware, stability of daily mindfulness, to see how you function as a human being, to see how your mind, your citta operate. That's why he called it the 12 link, paticca-samuppada, the law of dependent origination. You must see everything that arises, all phenomena, is dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. That's the reason why they are impermanent. If they are dependent originating, condition arising, how can they be a permanent unchanging entity? Dependent on condition, they arise. Dependent on condition, they cease. Then when the condition continues to sustain itself, they exist. So all this, when you start to see them in your meditation, in your daily mindfulness, you start to develop the wisdom, the understanding. Then you transform. Then you will come to realize that everything is just dependent originating, condition arising. All mind states are like that. And mind is a foreigner of all things. When mind arises, all things arise. So from mind, you can deduce that every phenomenon in this universe have these universal characteristics of change, impermanent, because they are all condition arising, cause of phenomenon, dependent originating. So see this clearly. Then after that, the third right view is Dhamma Niyama. Dhamma Niyama is very useful. The most important one is the essence of the Buddha's teaching, the essential Dhamma, the Four Noble Truths and its three turning. That one you need to cultivate, the three turning of the Four Noble Truths, that third right view. And from there, all the other essential Dhammas spin off from there. So these three type of right view, they are very, very powerful, very important. Then to add a little bit more to the second right view, the law of mind, citta niyama or paticca samuppada. This one, when you are mindful, aware, when your heedfulness is very stable, you can use it to cultivate noble eightfold path. You can see the link. You can see how you function as a human being. How upon contact, all those things that the Buddha described under the paticca samuppada, how they actually arise and pass away, how all the links are interconnected, and how, as I explained, it's multidimensional, it's not a single-dimensional thing. So seeing all this is direct seeing, direct knowledge and vision of the reality. It's not a knowledge, it's not a thought, it's not something people tell you when you believe. This is not a knowledge type of teaching where people tell you you believe. This one you have to investigate, awaken, then you understand. If you don't awaken, you cannot understand. So cultivation is about awakening, realizing, insight into. Not using the thought to rationalize, to think. Because thought is limited, knowledge-based. It cannot develop wisdom. Wisdom, which is the outcome of awareness, is of a higher intelligence than thought. That's why the Dhamma is akaliko, ahipasiko, then also sanditiko. Akaliko means timeless, beyond thought, beyond mind. So if you can awaken using thought, then that awakening is inverted comma, not akaliko. Because it's not a timeline. Where thought is psychological time. How can it awaken to a state that is beyond thought, beyond time, impossible? Then we move on to the fourth purification. This fourth purification is also very useful. Purification of overcoming doubt. This one, before the five spiritual faculties are very stable, you will have this doubt in you. So purification of overcoming doubt is in Pali called Kankha Vittarana Visuddhi. So no more doubt because it has overcome the 10 defilements of insight that binds the cultivator to complacency and misguided belief or realization. So this purification of overcoming doubt is to overcome the 10 defilements of insight that I have shared with you all. So once you are not caught in the defilement of insight, you will clear through this purification of overcoming doubt. There is no more doubt in your cultivation. You know what constitutes defilements of insight. So when you are able to progress and develop very beautiful mind state, if you are not careful, when you are deluded, you can be trapped. That's how it will create doubt in you later on. So purification by overcoming doubt means no more doubt. It means these are defilements of insight. You will not be complacent. You will not be trapped. So this ability is very important, like how I described it. The cultivator will be able to overcome complacency and misguided belief of realization. Otherwise, you can be trapped inside. Then the next purification is also very useful. Purification of knowledge and vision of what is path and non-path. Maga maga jnana dasana visuddhi. So you have to understand what is non-path. Non-path leads to delusion. Always remember that. And suffering. Whereas path leads to clarity, non-negativity, harmony. Yeah, the word harmony can add in. Peace and stillness of mind, born of wisdom. Clarity, non-negativity, and harmony. So always remember, when you want to check whether you are on the right path or not. If whatever you do lead to delusion, there is non-path. Means it doesn't bring you back to the Noble Eightfold Path cultivation. It doesn't lead you to the training of the mind to be heedful. All these are non-path. It makes you more egoic. It causes you to debate instead of focusing on the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, to go and purify the mind, which is the Noble Eightfold Path. You end up doing psychic, one-pointedness, jhana, everything. Then you end up doing things that has nothing to do with the Noble Eightfold Path. So that is non-path. And it leads to delusion and suffering. Whereas path leads to clarity. Non-negativity means the evil roots are not there. Then clarity, harmony. So these are the signs. Then there is peace, tranquility, stillness, born of wisdom. So only wisdom free. Then number six, purification by knowledge and vision of the way. This one is an extension of the fifth purification. When you know what is path and non-path, you will have this vision of the way very clearly shown to you. That's why this purification by knowledge and vision of the path or the way is very straightforward. It's a natural consequence of the fifth purification. Then you will just have to sincerely, with faith and diligence, cultivate, continue. So, in Pali it's called Patipada Jnanadasana. Jnanadasana is direct knowledge and vision of the reality. So, after understanding what is path, one just continue to cultivate accordingly to realize the vision of the way. Means, like what I said just now, if you know that this is path, your cultivation lead to heedfulness, and heedfulness lead to clarity of mind, non-negativity, peace, tranquility, and stillness, the true mind. That's why you know you are on the right path. You are no longer using thought to do thought-based meditation and all the funny meditation. You are just aware, mindful, clarity. Observe, silent, to awaken. So this is the difference between the traditional teaching and the real teaching. Then the last one is purification by knowledge and vision. Jnanadasana visuddhi means purification by the knowledge and vision of the reality. Direct knowledge and vision of the reality means when you purify through the third turning wisdom, bhavana maya panya. So this one is realization or enlightenment born of the direct seeing or the direct knowledge and vision of the way things are without thought. That's why the direct seeing, jnanadasana, seeing things as they are, direct knowledge and vision of the reality. This one is the third turning wisdom, bhavana maya panya. Without the third turning, you cannot insight into phenomena, you cannot awaken. Okay? So at least we cover the seven stages of purification. Then there's the last paragraph. Since the meditation as taught by the Buddha is the Noble Eightfold Path, so if one's meditation does not lead one back to the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path via heedfulness and sati as taught by the Buddha, then it is not the Buddhist meditation as taught by the Buddha. If after having experienced fantastic meditation experiences, one may think that one is already enlightened. But if one's actions, speech, and thought processes are still very crude, with a lot of wrong view and delusion, then one must check what type of enlightenment that is. It's very easy to check, isn't it? The Noble Eightfold Path factors, do you have them? The embodiment of right speech, right action, and right thought, with the right view guiding you. Then do you have the appropriate right livelihood? The fourth type of right effort, then are you heedful? Are you mindful? So all these are very beautiful checks. If you are still so crude, just because your meditation is fantastic, like you can levitate, you can read mind, you can maybe do magic. So, character-wise, you are still so crude. You are far from what the Buddha meant by enlightenment, the noble ones. The noble one has to be noble in all aspects of life. Having the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path, you don't have that, you are far from what he expects of you. So this is a very important understanding. If you can follow this understanding as a guidance, then you will not deviate, you will not go wrong. Okay, then part two, the 31 plane of existence or realm of existence. So this one we have gone through, but we will just go through it again. The top four realm are the immaterial or the arupa loka, the formless realm, consists of four formless realm that are accessible only to those who pass away while meditating in the formless jhana. The 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th jhana, they are called the formless jhana. The form jhana are the 1st jhana, 2nd jhana, 3rd jhana, and 4th jhana. So these jhana practices during the time of the Buddha in India is very popular. The Hindu has a lot of this type of cultivation, and they use the 40 type of object of meditation to build up their concentration. And this one is really concentration. They do one pointedness. Yeah, the jhanic factors, you look at them, the 5 jhanic factors: vitaka, vichara, piti, sukha, and ekagata. You look at the 5, only piti, the 3rd one, is the enlightenment factor. Whereas the 1st 2 is thought-based. Vitaka is applied thought. Vichara is sustained thought. After you apply your thought on the meditation object, that's why they note, they focus, they concentrate. Then they sustain that thought until no movement, no thought. Then they experience piti, which is the enlightenment factor. But their mind state is so concentrated and absorb in the one pointedness. That is not a free mind. That's why they cannot use the enlightenment factor to actually develop the cultivation. Then after that, they experience blissfulness of mind, sukhang. They get trapped inside that. Because sukhang is not an enlightenment factor. But it's really blissful. Really, really blissful. Then finally is one pointedness, ekagata. And this is not an enlightenment factor, but their mind, they are able to hold on to the object of meditation until it's one-pointedness. Means no thought. We are one-pointedness. All energy, focus. No thought is a thought, but all the thoughts are killed into the energy point. That's why they are also very calm, very still, very peaceful, but it's in apana samadhi. Absorption, one-pointedness, concentration. That one is real samatha. Your mind can go blank also. Because it's so concentrated. No movement at all, no activity at all. I remember. But if you go through continuous mindfulness, not one-pointedness, and then it's a slightly different experience. Because that one I went through before. When you are continuously aware, mindful, then you can go into what they call absorption. Your mind absorbs into it. Then everything, no more thought, everything ceases. But just that mindfulness, awareness, very strong. There is clarity, the awareness. But this is not a free mind. You can be aware of many things inside there, but this one is not a free mind. You cannot use it to live life. So, these two are both samatha. So, if you have this experience, you can experience it, no harm. But the advice is, you have to release out the samatha, concentration, the absorption to one point, until upachara samadhi, excess concentration, before you go into apana samadhi. Then, use it to cultivate daily mindfulness, to develop sati sampajana. Otherwise, the 10 step of the Avijja Sutta, you realize you didn't do that sati sampajana. So without sati sampajana, you can never be enlightened. That's why the daily mindfulness is very important. Step 4, Avijja Sutta. Yeah. Oh, sorry. The initial wisdom. Then step 5. Sati sampajana is step 5. Step 4 is initial wisdom. So all this, you will develop the understanding. So the initial wisdom is yoniso manasikara. So step 5, sati sampajana, daily mindfulness is the most important. So if you don't do that, you go direct into samatha. That's why that one, you will be trapped. Your mind state, sometimes when you are in that state, they are so concentrated, you are like enlightened. Because all the defilement, they are suppressed. The energy are so strong. They are like suppressed. They cannot surface. It's like you are enlightened. You cannot get angry. You cannot get miserable. But the problem starts when you start to age. When you lose the ability to maintain the energy field, the concentration, the absorption, then they realize without that conditioned state of mind, they cannot handle the body. They cannot accept the aging process. Old age, sickness and death, they start to develop doubt, fear. Then they realize something is not right. But by then, too late. That's why if you don't have proper guidance, proper teacher, you can end up just like what Alarai Udaka end up, the formless rhyme, the 8 and the 7 jhana. And they invited the Buddha to share the seat and teach together. The Buddha said, Sakyamuni at that time before he became enlightened, he said, no, thank you. He said, you all go ahead, I seek more. Because he wants to seek the solution to old age, sickness and death. He's not happy with that mind state. After die already, you get rebirth on the formless rhyme. Yeah, you live very long up there. But that is not life to him. He knew, finally you still fall. It's still not real liberation of mind. So because of that, Sakyamuni Buddha went on his own and developed this so-called vipassana meditation, insight meditation to develop wisdom, to develop the understanding of life, to see the unreality of this form and mind. Then when he realized this physical body and mind, which is the mundane mind, is dependent, originating, conditioned, arising, cause of phenomena, not the true nature, then he awakened. Then he realized this is karmically conditioned out for him to come to this existential world, to live life, to experience life, to cultivate and to do whatever, go through karma, everything. Then there's another nature within, which is the eternal nature. But that one also non-self, not a being, cannot come out and live life. That's how he realized all those things. Then he knew beyond the slightest doubt that this is it. He has realized the ultimate enlightenment of Sammasambuddha. That's how he can come out and teach and share all this. And his teaching is very beautiful, really, really beautiful. Okay, I'll move on to the next one. The next one is the Rupa Loka. They call it the five material world, Rupa Loka. Consists of 16 realms, whose inhabitants, the Brahmas, experience extreme refined degree of mental states of pleasure, the four Brahma Vihara. These realms are accessible to those who have attained at least some form of form jhana, first to four, and who have been there, and who have thereby managed to temporarily suppress the evil roots, hatred and ill will. They are said to have possessed extremely refined body of pure light. The highest of this realm is the pure abode, and they are accessible only to those who have attained the sainthood stage of non-returner or the third stage of anagami awakening. This fine material world or form world, Rupaloka, and the Arupaloka, formless realm, constitute the higher heavenly realm. They are considered the higher heavens. Then, number three, the sensual realm or Kama Loka. There are 11 realms within the Kama Loka. So, within the sensual realm, Kama Loka, there are 11 realms which experience both pleasure and non-pleasurable sensual states of mind. It is dominated by the five senses. Seven of these realms are called favorable destination or sukati. Kama sukati. So kama is sensual. This is K-A-M-A, sensual. Sukati is the happy realm. And it includes the six deva realm and our own human realm, manusa. So our human realm is supposed to be a happy realm. But if you are deluded, you can also become unhappy and miserable. Then the lowest of this realm are the four woeful state or bad destination, which includes the woeful realm of the demon, the animal, petas, or hungry ghost, and the hell realm. Enlightenment means mind that has clarity and wisdom and is no longer deluded. Genuine wisdom is with complete clarity and understanding. Third noble truth, cessation of form and mind leading to Nibbana. Form and mind cease to be. Okay, part three. There's a report on meditation. So, this Kayamita, I think he shared with us. I have followed Brother Teo's class for almost 19 weeks by now. I can feel the calmness and peace within more often now. This is good sign, good progress. I can sit for 1 hour and feel light-hearted with more clarity, joy, calmness and peace within most of the time. So this is a good sign of progress. My mind is a lot quieter and less heedless. See? When you can see this, you are okay already. You are safe already. That is, with very, very much less wandering thought. When faced with problem, the mind is not so afflicted like before. Then he adds, second part, my daily mindfulness has improved. Now when I encounter a problem, the mind is not so easily stirred. I am now more aware of my mental intention, especially the negative ones with the three evil roots. And with this clarity of awareness or mindfulness, I am able to cultivate the four right effort to abandon, prevent the arising, to promote and to refine upon the various mind state with greater ease. This is really good progress. You can do this means you are on the right path. The third point is, he said, After cultivating the daily mindfulness, when encountering sloth and torpor, I can just accept the state of sloth and torpor without any intention to do away with it. And this acceptance allows my silent mind to in sati to take over and remain in peaceful awareness within. After a while, I can experience a shift in consciousness. And this is very good. That makes my mind bright and clear with a lot of joy and virya. Then the sloth and torpor are gone, no more. That's how you overcome sloth and torpor. When you understand, you just be with it, the awareness and the sloth and torpor. Don't create aversion or dislike. Don't go and feel, I'm supposed to meditate, why am I sleepy? Forget about it. This is what the thought tell you. The thought is egoic, deluded. Forget about the thought. Always remember what the Buddha say. Whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions. So sometimes it comes as a test. After a long time, no more hindrances, then it comes as a test. That's how I passed, I went through. For no reason, no. That day, the meditation, long ago, before 1989. Suddenly, the mind developed sloth and torpor, no, which didn't happen to me very long time already. Then, because I have the understanding, then I knew it must be a test. So I silenced my mind and be with it. I never do anything. I didn't even resist or reject or try to do something to wake up. No. I stay with the sloth and torpor, just like the anger or the fear. I be with it, the mindfulness and the awareness. Then I realize all of a sudden sati take over, then there is a shift in consciousness. Suddenly the mind becomes very bright. Then the energy is strong. Then the whole sloth and torpor gone, no more. Then there was a lot of joy, a lot of clarity, a lot of sati within. That mindfulness becomes full of energy. Bright. That's like that virya. Then the mind becomes so different. So different. It becomes like very clear, very brave, fully aware. Then it can investigate anything at that time, I remember. You can go and check and investigate. So you try it if you have a condition. This Kayamita did very well. I remember it's a lady too. Then I answer her, these are very good meditative results, born of correct meditative cultivation and right understanding. Mahasadhu to you, Sister Adith, is a sister. Always remember whatever you do in the name of meditation. If it can bring about more clarity of mind with inner peace and inner awareness, to live life with a lot of happiness, joy and understanding, then it is the right meditation. The meditation as taught by the Buddha will also enable you to develop all the wisdom and virtue or wholesomeness born of the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path, to live the noble life of a noble one, to truly live life. The mind must be in silent inner awareness to be with the moment, to experience all of the beauties and wonders of life. I read again. This is very important. Because this lady has done it. That's why she is capable of realizing this. So that they explain. To truly live life. This is coming back to the Pativeda. The third phase of Dhamma. To truly live life. The mind must be in silent inner awareness to be with the moment. You just with the moment. That's it. Then you will experience all of the beauties and wonders of life. Things that you never see before. Simple thing. Even drinking a cup of tea. Watching a beautiful sunset. Or whatever. That's why sometimes at home I look at my house. I contemplate. I reflect. And I silent. There was so much joy. That clarity. The understanding. Then there is so much beauty. Everything is so pristine. Within the moment. Because there is freshness, there is awareness, there is no accumulation. Every moment, just the clarity, the awareness, be with it, experiencing. The awareness that is able to be with the moment without thought. Without thought means what? Without fear, worry, anxiety, no heedless thinking. That pristine, silent clarity, aware. And you really experience the world, live life to the fullest. Yeah, that is the beauty of that silent mind, that nature within awareness that is fully aware. That's how you can experience all of the pristine wonders and beauty of life and nature within that moment. And everything is so pristine. It's never old, never accumulated. Like I look at the same thing, it's never the same. I never say, oh, this one I've seen before. Means you are never seeing it, you are never looking it. But every time you look, everything is very pristine. That without word on, just the awareness. Your seeing becomes so different. You are not like normal people already. You are transformed. So this one I repeat again. To truly live life, the mind must be silent in awareness, to be with the moment, to experience all of the pristine beauties and wonders of life. Most living beings are heedless, you see, compare the opposite. Because they think a lot. And they are most of the time too busy thinking, planning and worrying about life. So much so they totally miss out on life. That is, they don't really live life. This is the meaning. So you can check for yourself. Before you know the Dhamma, before you have the daily mindfulness, you are really heedless, you think a lot. Then to be at peace with every moment of sense though, consciousness is genuine wisdom. You can be at peace with every moment of sense door activity, every moment of seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile or thought process. Even lightning strike, you can be at peace. There is no fear. There is genuine wisdom. Then to have the clarity of mind and right understanding or wisdom to know how to act and live life to the fullest meaningfully is the most important. So clarity of mind and right understanding or wisdom to know how to act means acting according to wisdom, not according to memory. And to live life to the fullest meaningfully is most important. That's why you can be a blessing to all. And life become wonderful, meaningful, so beautiful. That's why it's very rewarding as a bodhisattva when you come. Life is so wonderful, so rewarding. Yeah, the path can be very long. People who don't understand, they think, oh, you eons and eons and eons of birth and death. I don't want to come back and suffer anymore. That is delusion, isn't it? As a bodhisattva, when you have already understood all this and planted the vow with all the right view and the right understanding, every life you come back is with the understanding and the Dhamma, and that is beautiful. Why do you have this delusion to fear, thinking that this is suffering, suffering, suffering? You only suffer when you don't understand, when you don't have the wisdom born of the Buddha Dhamma. Always remember that. Okay? So, with this, the end. Oh, chapter 19 finished. Not bad. Oh, we did very well. Oh, good. Sadhu. So, page 106 we finished. So, we will continue next lesson. Page 107. Lesson 20. Oh, just nice. 10:09, we can have maybe 10 or 15 minutes of Q&A, Okay, we will open it up for meditation reporting or Q&A. You can ask me whatever question related to meditation and the teaching, and also how to apply this teaching. Okay, well, I have a drink. You can just come in. Wait. You just have to set the condition for Dhamma to flow. That's it. So, don't have to be shy. Who is shy? Not you. Your thought. Maybe I start off by asking you one question. The last part of the sharing, you remember that lady, the Kayanamitta? she was able to report her meditative progress so beautifully after attending only 19 sessions. 19 sessions is 19 weeks. Is it longer than MCO? 19 weeks is longer than MCO. Longer than MCO. And the question I want to ask is, how many of you have that? No need all three. One of the experiences that she has described. I think the first one is quite easy. You become more mindful, less heedless. And you can have clarity of mind and all. And that one, I think most of you should be able to do it by now. But the daily mindfulness one is not easy. She has done it, which is very good. And she was able to describe it so well. And I was at that time also very surprised. Song, yes. Sadhu. Song.
Radio, 听到吗?
听到,
讲啊,
听到, very clear.
Radio, share 今天早上我的, 一个 meditation.
Okay,
okay, 那个, it seems like 那个 mind 很像越来越, 越静凉。
Yeah.
So, 今天早上我在 office 的时候, 我 meditate, 到 了 office, and then, 早上的时候, 我就坐在那个, 椅子上, 就 silent, 然后我可以, 就很快的就可以 feel 到那个, 那个 heart 的那个 vibration.
Yeah, the awareness of that,
the awareness
vibration.
刚开始的时候, 它还没有完全进入, 那个 total, relax 的时候, 有一个 part 我还可以看到, 我可以 feel 到就是那个, 那个 mind 要去 interfere 它, 就是要去帮助它, 去, concentrate 这样,
对, 对, 你看得到了, because that Monday mind I try to come in. But now you just be aware and understand. Because every time it come in, you cannot be totally relaxed. Because that one is the subtle thinking trying to do. But because you have the awareness already, you can still be aware there after it asks you to focus there or whatever. Not really the word focus, like the thought tell you to go there. You can, no problem. But after you are there, you just relax into it. Silent. Then it will develop already. It will develop already. So no problem.
And
那个看得到很好.
Interfere 的时候, 要进入那个, concentration 的时候, 因为我会觉得这个是一个 disturb 来的。
对对对, 它是一个 distraction, but 你又看, because that mundane mind is very near the awareness nature one, very near. It's just 跑出来了.
Then after that, 我就, 没有, just, let it be. Then 我就在那个, vibrations 里面, 就完全的 total relax 下去.
Sadhu.
The moment 我一完全 relax 下去的时候, 我才发现它不是一个 heartbeat， 它在很 deep 的里面是一个 vibration，
其实这样子，那个在那边
vibrating。
It's a movement， it's a movement， but your awareness can be with it one， can be with it one， no word one， it's imperfect harmony。 Then later on it will slow down one， it will slow down， then finally completely nothing。 But your form and mind haven't ceased yet。 But there is nothing inside there. Means you cannot feel anything already. It has become so subtle. Then later on, if your wisdom is already very stable, ready, then when the condition is appropriate, you can have a glimpse of cessation. Then sometimes you already have gone through it for a while, then you assist for longer period. Means you can go in and experience the so-called the nibbanic. It's not an experience actually, it's the unconditioned. The mind will cease for a longer period. Initially it's normally a glimpse. Then after that, that form and mind that go in will understand. Then it becomes conscious again, aware again. Then it knows something happened already. That is what that change of lineage is, sudden shift. Then later on, as your wisdom stabilizes, your understanding stabilizes, this cessation will last longer and longer and longer. Then it will go in. That nirvanic experience keep on happening, until that stage is over. It depends on the individual, that stage. But always remember when it happens, just let it be. Then the timing for it to come out, it all depends on the nature and the condition. You cannot decide on. But if you want to do it for a longer period, you better make sure you are at home, so that people don't misunderstand that they think you are dead. Because sometimes no breath inside there, you don't breathe one, but you are warm one, you don't worry. So if you are doing it at home or at a place where you have somebody, you warn them, you tell them, just in case you find me like no breathing, don't panic, I'm okay. Just let things be, leave me alone. Then sometimes it can last for quite a while, but initially it won't last so long. Okay, yeah.
Then, 当我在 totally relax into 在那个 awareness 里面，我过后我真的是了解 Virgin 里面所讲的，只是 silent be with it 跟 aware 罢了。根本什么都不用做，只是 relax， 它只是那个 vibration 那边很像就 aware 了。
Yeah,
you don't need to do anything.
You don't need to do anything. That's why the more relaxed are you, the more deeper it will go in. Then that nature by itself will understand on. It becomes so natural. Very natural. Be with it. Then a lot of things will change inside there. Like I say, it becomes more and more quiet, more and more quiet, more and more subtle. Until finally that phenomena also like so subtle, no more. No more. Really no more. You can find. Then just that nature aware. Then there is no like sense or contact, nothing. But the awareness is still there. But for cessation to happen, even the pure awareness also cease to be. That is the real Nibbana. And the pure awareness also cease to be. But the person who go through will know one. But the glimpse one you may not know. The glimpse one, it happened very fast. But the glimpse one is normally for those who already have cultivated before in the past. That's why it will come very fast. Then that glimpse is already the change of lineage. It has transformed that person already. Actually, after that glimpse, you can say that form and mind is already awakened, enlightened. At least first, second, third or fourth stage of sainthood. But whatever stage of sainthood depends on your wisdom, so it's not really important. But that glimpse is very powerful, even in the first stage of sainthood. After that form and mind come out from that experience of meditation, he will know what that nature is. And he will know there is no such thing as you die already, you go and worry about this person, that person. No such thing, because he will know, no one die. He know you, he know me. That one that people talk about one is the consciousness and all these things. He is not real one. Because the true nature is the unconditioned, eternal nature. That's why they will know that there is no such thing as a permanent unchanging entity that you can call a soul or what. Don't have one. So that understanding is very deep and very penetrative. That's why that anatta nature, non-self nature, they will know. Then if you try to like write and ritual, try to deceive that enlightened being or sotapanna, you tell them, die already, you will become one and one and one. He know you doesn't understand. You are trying to like gongwu lowa, bullshitting people. So those who have gone through, they will know. That's why in the Diamond Sutta, you remember last time when we gone through the Diamond Sutta sharing, it was stated that even a sotapan will not think like that. Because Subhati asked the Buddha. Then the Buddha answered, even the Sotapan will not think like that. He will know there is no such thing as a entity, permanent and changing entity within. No mark of a self, even the Sotapan will also know. Very good, Sadhu.
But you,
yeah.
我有一个 moment, I mean, 刚开始的时候, 还没有进入兜得的时候, 兜得 relax 的时候, 在功夫, 我就开始 feel 到那个 mind, 那个 awareness 一直在 vibrating. 然后后来我有, 我不知道是我的 thought 呢还是个 understanding, 我讲, 诶, 这个就很像是 我们的一个 mind 的一个 aggregate, 就是它可以去 feel 那个 feeling.
我知道 you listen I explain to you because you use your thought to try to understand, that's why you have this type of question. Do you realize that? Yeah? 你用你的 thought 去 ask this question, but you answer yourself today, because when you relax and went in, before you relax and went in, you realize there's another subtle thought trying to direct you and tell you what to do. So that is the answer to your question. Because you were finding out what is that. It's like another thought inside there. It's like another entity. But actually that is the one that you are using to question. That's why don't go to the thought. Don't try to know. Just let things be. Silent everything and the nature will understand. Now, with this today, I think you can break free from that already. Last time you remember the early day, you always come back to me with a question, you remember? The initial stage? And I always tell you that it's the thought, you're using the thought to reason, you cannot understand, you cannot find the answer. Because last time I remember, but the question keeps coming out. So all those phases you have gone through, but now the subtle one, you start to see today from your description. So you remember what I say, that's why just now I say, you listen. You are trying to use thought again, although very subtle. Because you are not sure, you want to find out whether there is something. That's why this now your question is it a thought or what? You have answered it, because you saw there is another mind that is like a thought, the subtle one, that is trying to direct and do. So in the silent awareness, when you are really relaxed and aware, you can see all these movements. But like I say, initially it's okay. He wants to direct you there, because there the vibration and all those things is more prominent. You go there, stay. After you stay, you relax. Understand? Once you relax, you are not forcing it already. You are not trying to be there already. No? You relax means let the awareness detect. Then sometimes if that place is not the right place, you will also know. That silent awareness without thought will move. That's why it will detect the gateway and all those things. Yeah. So with this experience, it's going to help you after you have developed this understanding. Luckily you asked and I am able to share and explain to you. So this part is very useful. Okay? Avoid using thought to reason. Then you will end up with this type of problem. But if you don't use thought to reason, finally you will understand. That's why I say technically you don't really need teacher. You will finally come to understand all these things on your own too. But today is a good condition. Because this one, I think it has been with you lately for quite a while. I think you're reporting 2 or 3 times earlier on also you have been saying all this, but you cannot actually detect it after the 2 occasion, I think. But this time you report, you manage to get it. You answer yourself actually. Okay?
今天我做会比较长的时间。 almost 45 minutes.
Actually, 45 minutes is very important. Yeah. Later on, you will need more.
所以他前面的 20 minutes 就很像 Brian 你讲的那个 thought
around
but 他 second half 的时候当我 older relax 的时候我可以 feel 到那个 mindfulness 它越来越 subtle 越来越近的时候那个时候我就知道哇它真的是很 powerful 这个 mind 是非常的重要如果 continue to let it continue to silent and cease also something going to happen 那个时候真的是很 powerful 那个 mind 的
because that pure awarenessThe pure consciousness without content is so powerful, so different. Like I explained last time, to have one moment of pure thought means without the evil root, no, without any thought, no. Very difficult. The normal human being cannot. They always think a lot with the heedless thinking. That's why whatever merit they do is thought-based, tinted merit.Even they have Dhamma knowledge or certain cultivation or something. But this one, when we go in, we can be with the pure thought for very long. Throughout the duration of the meditation. Like your case now is maybe the first 10, 15 or 20 minutes, then it settles down, then you can be in that state. But later on, when you become skillful, you can be in that state most of the time. Then when the mundane mind collects, it's all the time.That's why this type of meditation and understanding is very different, very penetrative, very deep. The consciousness, the pure consciousness, is very different from the mundane mind. Yeah, this is the higher consciousness. And this one can become more and more fine, more and more fine, more and more. To, for it to be fine, you need wisdom. The wisdom energy must go in.Then it becomes more and more fine, more and more fine, more and more pure. And it becomes so beautiful. That's why its nature is very beautiful, very powerful. And it can cause things to arise. That's why later on, I dare not use my pure wish. I dare not simply make that pure wish. Because it caused things to arise. Then later on, I vow. If ever I were to use it, I will qualify it. I use that word, you remember?I always say, if it's for the good of the many, then only let it arise. Otherwise, wow, it can cause things to arise on. Then people with the negativity of karma, with the condition, they will actually have it. But my nature didn't do anything, actually. Well, last time when it happened, then I didn't understand all this because first time it happened, then I use it.Then it becomes so powerful, causing to arise. Then there was one incident. I felt quite bad in the sense that I have compassion for these people. Because I wanted to meet one person because of certain condition. And this person, he became my close friend and I helped him before. And he also very friendly and nice to me. Then there wasa condition where I need to meet this person. And do you know what happened or not? I just arise a pure thought, no. How nice if I can gain back his contact or I can meet up with him because I really need to contact him because of something quite important. And you know what happened or not? The next day, afternoon, one phone call came. And he still have my house number, no.4 or 5 years, I have not met him already. He called me. Then he talked to me. Then I said, I was about to look for you. He said, what a coincidence. Then he said, yeah, he said, how are you? I said, fine. I said, he also said, we must be out. Oh, I said, yeah, I need to see you. I need to drop by your office. Then he said, come. Then after that, he said, by the way, you know why I call you?He said, something happened at our project there. He said, last time there was an engineering project. I built this, the university quarters, 600 students. I built it in 6 months, design and construction and deliver. Because they need to rush that hostel. So after I built it, because it was built of cabin one, that time the cabin technology was just new. So after that thing was built, then the project ended.He was very happy because it was the pioneer project in Malaysia, and I think they gained a lot of good reputation. Then their cabin become like popular and all those things. Then people start to use. And the phone call say, he received a phone call from the university. That college that we built caught fire. That's why after that I did not use. Then I say, when was it? He said, just happened only. The university just called me. Then I say, you don't worry. They got insurance, everything covered. Then I say, okay, I drop by. Then when I went there, I really pity that. It was near exam, no, MU, the third term, I think. Then one of the ladies' block got burned. No. So I can feel those students who stay there, live there, the lecturer knows their textbook, everything inside there, also will be burned. No. But then the fire engine came and they managed to put off the fire. But I think about 50 to 60 rooms were affected. That's why after that incident, I vow never to use that pure wish. That pure mind is very powerful. It can cause things to arise. Oh, very, very powerful. So you will start to understand. Okay. 还有吗？
就觉得现在很像那个麦，哎，那个 cultivation 很像一直不断的在 progress。
Yeah, yeah, 你会了解的。
You are
the same. Yeah.
你可以知道，很像一直不一样了，全部。
Yeah. You can also read through the description by just now that lady, the Kayamita. It will help you to put it in words. Because you are Chinese Mandarin educated, you are not so strong in the English language. So you read through, then you can actually describe it in a clearer manner so that it can help other Kayamita. In fact, that sharing was very good today. Kayamita, who is new, came for 19 sessions only, able to do up to that level. Really amazing.
现在早上起来五点多，他会很像我都醒来就 aware。
Yeah, yeah. You were straight away. The moment you wake up, you are aware already. You're conscious of everything. Then your movement,
你 aware 的时候，那个满地麦就一直也跟着 arise， 一直来 disturb， 一直 disturb。
Yeah, but now is the awareness. Awareness. Then only you become conscious. You can see how it become conscious. From the awareness, you come out, become conscious. Then when it's conscious with the awareness, the thought hasn't moved yet. Then you decide. It's no more the thought condition you to move. How you want to move, at what pace, you decide. Then your awareness decide. That's why it's very different. Very beautiful. Study. Confident to other Kayamita. Anybody else?
Hello, brother.
Adam, yes.
I just want to share, I'm not sure whether this is relevant to the meditation that you're doing, but I just want to share that when my nature heard of this one egg, then I don't know why.
What is one egg?
Like food, the egg. Because it's talking about like one egg for this person, that's a food. Then
okay.
I don't know why it just like I just get traced back the egg to the chicken and just felt thankful that for the egg to even come to existence must have this chicken not to produce the egg, and it just I just suddenly felt like grateful for all the foods that we eat. Like for example, to get the rice, you must plant the grain, and then to get the egg, you must have the chicken, and then the fish also we get from the sea, all the hard work.
Yeah, do you have any question related to what you described? Do you have any
not really question, but just...
So you just want to share with me you have such thought, isn't it? But you listen, I already explained to you before. This is conditioned thinking, understand? You must have read somewhere about this thing, then that thought comes, then it becomes like a conditioned thinking. So what you need to understand is meditation is not like that. If it's from your past, it will arise in a different way. Because this one is from your conditioned thinking, which is about compassion, moral. It is almost the same direction as earlier on when you try to describe some of your experiences. So, not important to me. This is nothing to do with meditation. You need to be aware of your conditioned thinking, because you are very easily conditioned by what people say. Even when you listen to my earlier sharing and talk, you are so conditioned and you want to like act as if you understand what I say and bring out all those examples. This one will not help you. You will not develop the understanding of heedfulness and meditation. Train your mind, develop the heedfulness. Don't try to know, don't use thought, don't use knowledge. Silent everything, then find out from that silent awareness within the silent one. This is for your own progress and good understanding. Okay? Anyway, thanks for your sharing. At least people can learn from all these things. But you have this tendency to be conditioned by what you read and what you hear. Okay?
Thank you, brother.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Yeah. Anybody else? Oh, Brother Chong. Yeah? Kai Wen?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, hear now.
Hi, Brother Chong. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So, 我是觉得真正我们 你要考那种 daily mindfulness 真的是有没有达标啊？ 你真的是要看那个 situation 出来的时候，
yeah.
出来的时候哦， 你可以不可以 handle 那个瓶颈？
very good， 沙豆。
当人家把一些东西 anger 丢给你的时候， 你可以，
yeah.
不是你一直在那边这样。
not thinking one， not true knowledge，
承受那个压力。
Yeah, yeah. He said the most important task is your daily mindfulness to handle things. When you focus on daily mindfulness and develop the initial wisdom, when you confront a situation, that is the time you can check whether you can maintain the calmness, 平静下来, and resolve it amicably. That is the test. You cannot do that, whatever you say is conditioned thinking knowledge, not much use. Yeah. So the emphasis is on daily mindfulness. Then he said, you must have the faith. You must just do, be sincere, diligently do. Then you can see the result. Then after that, he shared the second part. He said, this morning, he said, he was like for about 5 minutes, suddenly the mind become quiet, silent. Then for a few moments, he can like aware and realize that there is a nature behind, which is not a being. It's the unconditioned. 不生不灭, he used the word. 生 means born. 灭 means cease. No arising, no ceasing. That nature, which is very different from like the egoic mind or a living being and all those things. So all this manifestation, transformation, you can experience them, is it? What you need is the faith. Have the faith and just do. Then after you do, you realize in life you are very happy, enticing, you are very contented. Slight raise in salary, you are very contented. Then you have a lot of joy, a lot of happiness, and you become more and more peaceful, more and more heedful, calm. That is what meditation is all about. Then the understanding will transform you and make you different. So this is what is beautiful. That's why I said, for those who have done it, I rejoice. Sadhu to you all. So let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So we would like to thank today, Song, Kaiwen, and even Adam for their individual sharing. Thank you so much, Kaiwen. Anything else? 还有什么吗?
然后很多好像一些五戒的东西，你自己会去化疗，好像自己会懂的，你不用去问多少种。很怕了。I translate
very good. So he said, like the five precepts, he said, when you cultivate until certain stage, you can never violate the five precepts because you know it's not worth violating. He used the word 很怕, like you will never go and violate.
害羞了,
yeah, I know, 害羞, Just now the word I use is, you will not dare to violate it because you know it's not worthwhile. To violate. Then all this is very natural, is it? You can never break the precept, you can never go again. It's not worth it. You understand it very clearly, and the understanding is so different. That's the reason why the real cultivation is so different. It's not a knowledge, because the understanding makes you like that. You are incapable of violating the five precepts. And you know it's not worth the while, because that effect of violating the precept is very powerful, very severe. So you will never do it, because only the deluded, the heedless, the foolish can do this type of thing. Means consciously, with mental intention, you will never do all this type of thing anymore. You cannot do it anymore, which is very good. Sadhu, Kevin, very good.
最后一句我想跟你们讲哦，我想分享就是，我们给那些还没有做到的人，我希望你们 给自己陪身去做，因为你够不到啊，用几天看不到东西，你要忍着，然后在里面一直做，
做，
有那个非常非常，已经看得起来不一样了。
Very good. Okay, I will explain this. So, this is a very good advice. He said the last advice is for those Paramita who has not done it or who haven't really able to develop this type of understanding and meditation. Don't worry, he said. Be patient. Just do. Persevere. Then have faith. Then it will come. Because all this need the condition and the timing. Not everybody is the same. But when you have these three things, exactly like what I say, he said, the first one is be patient, patient. Then after that, just do, means persevere. Then the last one is have faith. So what I given you one is faith, sincerity. Sincerity. So we add in patience, which is very good. So you can add in sincerity. When you are sincere, when you have the faith, the way will be there. You only cultivate, persevere. And you will continue to develop the mindfulness and the awareness to see yourself. Then you will understand. Then you will straighten your view and you will transform and you will change. That's how you progress. Then you will see it. All this that cultivator develop, you will be able to see them and develop the understanding. And you will have your timing, your condition. And there is a lot of joy. I think this advice is the most important, most beautiful. My daughter heard the last part. She said, you have to learn to understand yourself. Learn to zi, means self-knowledge, like Krishnamurti said. Awareness is about self-knowledge. Self-knowledge got two parts. One is the physical body and mind, the mundane mind. And the physical body, the human being. The other one is your nature. So when you learn about yourself, means you learn about the form and the mind. Then you learn about the unconditioned, the true nature. So when you understand these two, you will understand life. You will know how to live. You will have the wisdom of the unconditioned and the conditioned world. Then you will have no more problem. Because if you don't have the understanding of both sides, then you will not be able to live life. Because when you penetrate the unconditioned, the Dhamma, the wisdom way, but to live life, you need to understand the conditioned Dhamma within the conditioned world. Because the Four Noble Truths, the teaching exists in the conditioned world. Duality exists in the conditioned world. But within the unconditioned, he know you, he know me. No ma, no mind, nothing. So when you understand more, you can harmonize. You can apply the appropriate understanding towards the condition that arise. That's how you can become beautiful. Otherwise, what the Heart Sutta said, Sen Kong Miao Yu, cannot manifest. True emptiness is wonderful existence. So initially, meditation, self-knowledge is very important. Understanding who you are, what you are, and how you are conditioned into all this mind state. How delusion, wrong view, subjectivity condition you into negativity or mind state. How the evil roots comes to be, the birth and death of all this mind state. So this is really beautiful, the Kaivan sharing and song sharing. So thank you so much. Sadhu. Let us rejoice. Sadhu. Okay, we better end. For today is good enough. Thank you so much. So good night. Sayonara. One an. Okay. Okay, yeah.